sheet. There's a front and a back. Okay, so profiles of persecution, the Rambam, the early years. So I wanted to speak about, you know, there is stuff. The Rambam had some complicated childhood. We'll talk about that a little bit. He grew up, and then before he got to Egypt, before he got to Eretz Yisrael, while he was still in Northern Africa, on his way to Eretz Yisrael, so he was there for a decade or so.
From Spain,
he went to North Africa. Okay. There he wrote a famous letter that's entitled the Geras Hashmad, a letter of letter of persecution, I guess would be a good translation, where these issues come to the forefront, and that's most of what we'd like to speak about tonight. But first, let's set the stage. The Rambam was born in the year that we don't know. We know what year he died with many Rishonim. We know the year they died. We don't necessarily know the year they were born. But then they were born, they were just a baby, and then when they died, he was the Rambam. But it's assumed that he was born someplace in the realm of 1138. He does write, we'll see in a moment, where he sort of records his age, but he was born in 1138. He was born in this town of Cordova in the province of Andalusia. Is that how you pronounce it? In southern Spain?
Andalusia.
So it still exists today. It has its own Wikipedia page. Cordova, there was an article, I think, in last week or 2 weeks ago in Times of Israel, right on the front there, where it talked about that there's a lot of interest in Spain now in pre-Inquisition Jewish history.
Yes.
The problem is that they banned all Jewish things from Spain. They destroyed it, they banned it, etc. So anything that's there is mostly fake, but that's where they have the statue of the Rambam that they have on display, and that's sort of like the prominent thing in Cordova. Yes. I don't know if it's real or not, but that's just what was in the picture. But anyways, So that was 1130. He was born. He lived there in the year 1148. There is a tribe called the Almohads. The Almohads were like the Taliban of today, or like ISIS of today, that were coming around and were persecuting anybody that came in their path and forcing them to declare allegiance to Islam. They came from northern Africa into southern Spain, came into Cordova. The Rambam left Cordova when he was about 10 years old. It seems like he stayed in Spain for another 10 years, him with his family, traveling with his family. His father was a dayan in Cordova. His father was a Talmud of the Rimagash, who was a Talmud of the Rif. So the Rambam considered himself, when he refers to his Rebbe, he's referring to either the Rimagash or the Rif. At some point, he and his family, and this is already when the Rambam was already a young man, went to North Africa. Now, it's a little unusual to travel to North Africa, because ISIS has come into Syria, let's go into Iraq. Instead of running away the other way, which is what many Jews did, many Jews ran north into Europe from Spain. They ran into Christian Spain, which was supposed to be better for them. They, for some reason, and Moshe Halbertel in the biography here says no one knows why, but for some reason they felt, maybe because the crazy soldiers were all at the outskirts conquering more land, and maybe if you go to where the base is, so they're more secure, you don't have to worry about it so much. But for whatever reason, the Rambam and his family traveled to North Africa, modern day Morocco, the town of Fez. There is, if you go to Fez today, there is a house on it that has a plaque that this is the house of the Rambam. I don't know if that's historically accurate or not, but that there is a claim in Fez of that the Rambam lived here for a while.
Just a thing about not going south instead of north. At the time that he lived, the Crusades were ongoing, and we know that
I'm
just bringing it up.
Okay, the crusade. When we talk about the crusades being very difficult for Jews, it's really the first crusade. What we talk about on Tisha B'Av, that Kina, was the majority. Which was the first crusade, and that was considered the worst of it happened at that point. But sure, life in Europe, I'm sure, was not pleasant. It could also very well be that the Rambam's intention all along was to get to Eretz Yisrael, and that was just the fastest way of getting there, but they ended up being stuck in Fez for a little while. I didn't see that anywhere. I just suggested that on my own. But anyways, So during that time, the Rambam is most prominent for writing his first work, which is the Perush HaMishnayos. The Perush HaMishnayos, the commentary on the Mishnah, he wrote under difficult circumstances, which he actually refers to at the very end. If one opens up a regular Vilna Shas to the very last page of the Mishnayos, so in a Vilna Shas, when there's Mishnah only, so it includes on the side of the page, where Rashi would be, includes the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote on all Mishnah, but it's only for most Masechtas, it's in the back of the Masechta. In Taros, and I think in Zerayim also, it's on the actual page of the Mishnah. And at the very end of Maseches Uksin, so he concludes his work, and then he adds in this little sentence here at the end, where he says, "Kfar yishlamnu achibur hazeh kifi masha hiftachnu v'ani, eshalenu yisbarach v'eskanena lov she'etzilenu min ha'shigiyos," that I've concluded this work, I've done the best that I can, and I ask that Hashem has protects me from any mistakes. So everybody finds a mistake. Or if anybody could explain halacha better than I did, and you'll be able to save me from my fate. I mean, please let me know if you find any problems with it. That the way that I had to work on it is not comparable to one who would be in better conditions. B'chol shekin bis askus machshavasan b'chol eis ba'nachus hazman v'meshigur alkim aleinu min hagalos v'agur baratzos miksa shemayim v'akitzei shemayim v'olam skarzek var ba'galos michaparas avon. He says, because we've had these very difficult troubles throughout the entire time that I've been writing this, and we've been chased from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and hopefully the idea that we've been chased around for all this entire time, hopefully that will come as a kapara. That will come as some kind of atonement, and we'll be able to go, Mashiach will come, and everything will be wonderful. He actually writes on the bottom there his age. He says, I finished this, we just don't know what year he wrote it in. But he says, I wrote this book when I was 33 years old, when I already got to Egypt. So I think we assume that it's... I started writing when I was 23. Vashli Mosi b'Mitzrayim, Vani ben Shloshim Shana, and I was 30 years old. Shishnas Tesvai and Lishteros Baruch Nosin Koach V'Leino Nimatzma Yar. But that, thank God, Hashem gave me strength, and I should be able to have more, etc. So he, so that's I think the main indication that we have for the Rambam's age, but we don't really know what year that was, what it's related to. But anyways. So Rambam wrote this at a young age, and while living this difficult life. Now, he had already, in Northern Europe, it's clear, had already established a name for himself, to the point that he was the one that was called upon to answer this, well, at least he took it upon himself to answer this claim. So what was going on there? So we'll get to the claim. The claim was, is that there were four. Well, it's unclear whether this really means forced conversions. It's one of the things the Rambam talks about. But in those lands, they required even Jews, which is really not necessarily up to that point part of Muslim belief, but they required that all people, including Jews, state their allegiance and belief in Islam, in one God, which isn't really a problem, but that also that he has a prophet named Muhammad, or a prophet named Osu Aish, a prophet that person, that person was being referred to. So they were being forced to do that, and then and obviously any observance of Judaism was then going to be prohibited. So somebody wrote, and we don't know who this person was, but somebody wrote that that any Jew who believes this, any Jew who goes ahead and does this, has violated their requirement to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. I mean, you are required to give up your life rather than state this belief. And if you go ahead and did this, so you're no longer counted amongst the Jewish people, and your mitzvahs are worthless, and those kinds of things. So there was this statement that was out there that seemed to have a large impact on many Jews, which is why the Rambam felt that he had to write a response. That response is known as the Gerut HaShemad. the letter about Shmad. It appears several places, but there is, I have it here, the Igros HaRambam, so the first, actually the very first thing, the first entry, yes, in the Igros HaRambam. We don't have the original. We only have a translation of it, right? It's a Targum Kadum. This is the early translation. He wrote it probably in Arabic, right? He wrote it in Arabic, but we don't have the Arabic version. We only have a Hebrew version. And that's what we have. Now, just before we get to that, there is this rumor out there that maybe people have heard this, that the Rambam at one point converted to Islam. How many people actually heard that? How many people heard that? Rumor. Do you believe it, Rabbi Cohen? So there is this rumor out there. Now that rumor, where it comes from, so it was suggested by a Muslim historian named Ibn al-Kifti. Now when did Ibn al-Kifti live? I wasn't sure if he could live in the 1900s, but no, he lived in the 1100s. He lived from 1172 to 1248. He was considered and he makes this suggestion out there. In Moshe Halbertal's book here, he rejects it outright. He thinks that there's really no basis for it. There's a reason why a Muslim historian would want to make such a claim, right? It sounds pretty good for the Muslims, but if it were true, there would have to be some corroborating evidence, specifically because the Rambam was a famous person, and if the Rambam did it, the Rambam wasn't the only person who ended up from North Africa that ended up in Egypt at one point. So somebody else would have come along and say, how could this Rambam... The Rambam had no shortage of enemies, neither local nor internationally. The Rambam had plenty of people that were willing to take him on. So if there was a person who knew this fact about the Rambam, that person would have spoken up at some point, and there would be some corroborating evidence to this. So therefore, Moshe Halbertal rejects it, as we'll see allusions to on the back of the page. Dr. Chaim Salvechik seems to allow for its possibility to exist. He just mentions it like sort of. I don't know if you asked him directly what he really believes, but you'll see what he writes and see whether what he. I don't know if what his sheet is specifically about that. We'll get to that a little bit later. So that was the claim. So the Rambam writes. So what does the Rambam do? So the Rambam does several things. Number one, he totally trashes whoever wrote this. We don't know who wrote it, and we assume that it actually wasn't somebody local, because the Rambam says in a second that it wasn't somebody local. It must be somebody that's not experiencing the same troubles that we have. Then he talks about how dangerous it is to write such things, and then he talks about what he thinks the halacha is. Now you think, what really do we do under these circumstances? So let's take a look at the sample that as provided here. So the Rambam writes, Amar Moshe bar Rav Maimon Hasfardi, shal ish mi anshei dorenu li ish mi anshei achachmu lefi dvarav, that people from our generation asked the people of wisdom, right? Mi shalo kara aleya masha kara al rov kilos Yisrael mi zehashmad. And they asked from somebody who is not happening to him that which is happening to many of the congregations amongst Kal Yisrael. Hashem yivat leinu, that Hashem should get rid of it. Adin yin hashmad hazeh, with regards to this shmad. Asher yachrichu bo lahodos la'oso ish b'shlichuso shehu navi emes. That where we have to recognize to that person that he would be a messenger, meaning Muhammad. Hayim yoda adam bazeh bishvil shelo yamus. If a person admits this, so that he doesn't die, v'itamu banav uvnosav ben hagayim. So a person will admit this, and so that he doesn't die, and his children will then be assimilated amongst the non-Jews. Oim yamus, or he could die. V'yoloi lo edusahi achar shumuchuyu b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. For he did not testify about this testimony, because he's obligated in the Torah's Moshe. I mean, either he could admit to it, in which case his sons will then be assumed to be Muslim and they'll be lost, or he can die and he won't have he won't have the proper testimony. He won't be able to testify about it further, meaning he'll be dead, I guess. So v'yan hanishal hadavar chalush ein lo tam. So this person who was asked answered, who's a weak person, who doesn't have any tam, doesn't have any understanding, Dibir Belashon Bechiser Binyan, spoke in a way that was lacking anything. Yeah. And he came up with svaras that even women lacking brains wouldn't have even come up with. And we'll spell out what he said, even though it's very weak, and I think that's all I put on with regards to that page. Yeah. So, and he continues on for another page or so, trashing this guy, saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, and we shouldn't believe him, and we, you know, it's terrible what he wrote, and, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's better or worse that we don't know who he is, but we don't know who this individual was. So what does the Rambam go from there? So the first thing he does is, he says, the first thing is, make sure you never doubt Klai Yisrael. Bad things happen to those people who say bad things about Jews. And he gives, one example he gives that I put on the page here is from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now when Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'hein lo yaminu li, right, that they won't trust me, Hashimenu Hashim Yis'Allah Zevar Melo, Himaminim B'nei Maminim. That Moshe said they won't believe in me. And Moshe spoke badly about the Jewish people by saying, they're not going to believe me that I'm their leader. So Hashem said on him that they are believers. But you, at the end, you're not going to believe. And it says, Yan Lohem Mantem Bi. What is that? What's that a reference to? So that's the hitting of the rock. Right, Moshe is punished by not going into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Hashem, the reason that Hashem says you're not going into Israel is because you didn't believe in me. Because Moshe spoke badly about the Jews, the Rambam is implying that leads down to the path to Moshe not being allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, it is interesting, the Rambam himself, in the Mor Nevuchim, what does the Rambam say the reason is that Moshe got punished for hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock? So Rambam Mor Nevuchim writes that Moshe is criticized for saying, Shimuna Hamor. He said to the Jewish people, listen to me, you bitter people. Which is not exactly the same as here, but it's the same idea, right? Same thing, that Moshe is not showing a faith in the Jewish people. He quotes as well from Eliyahu Navi also didn't speak so well about Jews and ended up suffering as a result. And the final example he gives from Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu also had a complaint about the Jewish people, and Hashem takes him on. He then continues on and says, and by the way, we have a few Tanayim who did exactly what these Jews in Northern Africa are doing. And I'm not sure what the reference to the story is. I couldn't figure out from there's a lot of I'm not sure it's in the Gemara or not, but he quotes from Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer that both of them had stories where they sort of faked out being another religion. They didn't step up for themselves and say, no, we're Jewish and we're going to suffer these consequences, whatever they may be. Right? They were willing to kind of stay quiet. They didn't acknowledge somebody calling them something not nice. One of them kind of faked eating not kosher food. So the Rambam says, here you see a couple of Tanayim that sort of kept quiet and didn't and didn't sacrifice their lives for those for that reason. Fine. So then the Rambam comes along and says, okay, and what about the halachic aspect of what you're saying?
I'm sorry, where are you?
So now I'm going to where it says page 51. I'm going back to the right side.
Northern Africa asked them this question, not the people in Europe.
Now, this was a local thing. The Rambam is clearly talking about, because he's clearly talking about Islam. So who this other person is that wrote the letter, that we don't know. And the Rambam says that he's obviously not suffering like we're suffering. Now, it's unclear whether he knew that or who he's just assuming it. But I mean, we would assume that the Rambam knew who he was responding to. He just doesn't mention it by name.
So he's writing about this because this is what was going on in Spain.
No, he's in North Africa, Africa now. Okay. No, while living in North Africa, he's talking to the populace.
Okay.
So now, what about the halachic issue? So this person's claim is that you are, if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, worship Avodah Zarah, else I'm going to kill you, right? And you say, well, I don't want to die, I'm just going to worship Avodah Zarah. So you are now a heretic, right? You are now a person who is an Oved Avodah Zarah, and therefore you have lost your portion of being among Klal Yisrael. That's his claim. So the Rambam comes and says, well, hold on a second. He says, v'im lo yahareg, let's say a person doesn't get killed. I mean, let's say he's supposed to, and he doesn't do it. Right, the avar mifnei ha'ones velo narag, and he violates the din. right? Because of the he's forced to, and he doesn't get killed. Lo hitiv lasos, he didn't do the right thing. V'hu machal shem shemayim bonis, and he has also been machal shem shemayim. Yeah, all right. The mitzvah of kiddush Hashem is to be willing to do this, and he didn't do this. Amnam eno chayv onish mikol shiva anashim, but we don't see anywhere that he gets punished. Right? We don't see that. Oh, well, now you violate avodah zarah, so now we're going to give you skila. Now we're going to stone you. Now we're going to give you the punishment. Right? We don't find that. Ela yoshev aveso achi yetsi mioso amal. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong paragraph. Amnam eno chayv onish mikol shiva anashim for any of the seven list of seven possible punishments. Shelo matzina b'torah kula lo b'kolos v'lo b'chamuros. We don't find the entire Torah, nor by easy mitzvahs, nor by hard mitzvahs. Makum shechayev Hashem gmul migmulei haonesh v'lanus. That we don't find a place that Hashem imposes punishments on a person who is forced to do things. Ella l'osav haratzon. We only find a person is punished when they do something willingly. Koshar v'nefesh asher, and he goes on and quotes sources for it. So what's the Rambam's claim here? The Rambam's claim is, well, on that thing you're wrong. Right? You're saying that these people are now tossed out of the Jewish people. No. Even if they are supposed to die rather than do this sin, okay, so they did the wrong thing, or they lost their opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Okay, but it doesn't mean that they're any, you know, well, I didn't say any less, but it means that, okay, so now we're ready to move on. You know, they lost that opportunity, but now they're moving on. What else does he say? And then the other action is, he says, and by the way, what about this thing which we're having them do? I mean, gun to their head, so the assumption is that it applies to avodah zarah. What's this? What are they trying to have them do here? Da shekol hashmados shehayu bizman hachamim. All of the hashmados, all of the persecution things that happened during the time of the chachamim, hayimitzuvim mehem lavor al hamitzos, v'hayibahem asiyas ma'isa. They were being forced to violate mitzos, and there was an action involved. K'mosh amru zal v'talmud, as it says in the Gemara, shelo yask v'torah shelo yamulu es b'neihem, o she'afilu nishoseim nidos, o she'achalu es ha'shavasos. Right, that they were being told that they weren't going to give bris milas to their son, or that they were going to the men were going to violate the woman, o she'achalu, or they're going to be forced to violate v'shabbos. Now, I realize not all of them are actions. The first one's not an action, except actually it was in the Daf Yomi in the last couple of days about today, actually, that that maybe a bris milah might have a status that you might actually get a punishment for not doing the bris, but not for now. But the other ones did have actions involved. V'zeh what?
It's curries.
I just know. You get curries, but curries isn't what we're talking about here. I mean, there actually might be makos for not giving a bris. That's what the Gemara suggests, but it's rejected. But anyways, so v'zeh hashmad lo yichavo asiyas ma'isa klal. But this mice, this shmad, there's no ma'isa at all. Zulas hadibur bevad. All you have to do is say something. Sheyamin ba'osuish. You believe in that guy. But you're not going to be forced to do any action involved with it. And if a person wants to go on and fulfill all the mitzvos, so they can do it. Right? There's nothing that's going to keep them from doing so. They only just have to say these words. And claims the Rambam, just saying these words is not going to be considered a violation of avodah zarah. Elayim hikratz below onus, etc. Lefichach, it's the bottom of that section. Lefichach kol mi shenera kedei shelo yoda b'shlichus. So therefore, anybody who dies kedei shelo yoda b'shlichus osoish, so that they won't have to state the shlichus of that person, meaning if a person dies rather than commit to the idea that Muhammad is some kind of messenger, so lo yemar alav el shu osa mitzvah. So we're not going to say anything about him except for that he did a mitzvah. And he gets reward from Hashem, etc. Because he was moser nefesh for Hashem. But if somebody would actually come and ask a shaila and say, "Nu, what should I do? Should I get killed or should I say the magic words?" So Omrim lo sheyoda v'lo yera. We will tell him to say the words rather than be killed. Aval lo yamu b'malchus osu amelech. But he shouldn't stay there. He shouldn't stay in that kingdom. Ela yeshe b'vesa. Rather, he should go home, stay inside. Achi yetzimi osu amalchus, until he's able to run away from that kingdom. And that's the Rambam. That's pretty much towards the end of the letter already. So, at that point.
The
Was there something that Islam is not considered a modus operandi?
Yes, I thought he said that. He does. He. I'm not sure it's actually in this letter. He does say.
Islam is not a modus operandi.
No, it's true. It's true. It's not. And the Rambam certainly recognizes it as not.
It is.
Yes, the Rambam assumes that Christianity is, but I'm not sure he says it outright here. I got to look through the whole thing. I don't remember what he says specifically about it, but there might be a specific reason why he doesn't want to say that, and we'll get to that at the end.
But also, it sounds like whatever you're doing by saying this isn't really doing anything.
Yes,
that's
for
what
sure
he's
what
going
he's,
with this.
That's for sure what he's saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there another?
So you could be saying it with essentially no risk. Sounds like.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, okay. So that's the Geras Timan. What the Rambam is telling everybody. Everybody chill out, right? Those who want to be Moser Nefesh, okay. And it sounds like he gives favor to that person. But if you were to ask me straight up, yes or no, I would tell you. Well, I'm not sure what yes or no is. I would tell you to say the words and avoid persecution, and then wait to get your passport approved and get out of here, and go someplace else where things are going to be safer. Now, what's interesting about this is that actually a halachic statement that the Rambam said here? Anybody catch a problem with this statement of the Rambam?
One thing he says, you should get praise. Allowing yourself to be killed, which is not a mitzvah you shouldn't do.
So those who maybe I think we gave sharing this a couple of years ago about Kiddush Shem during this time of year, and there's a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Baal Yatosos about whether one is permitted to voluntarily give up one's life. And that's a machlokas that is out there, and what is the Rambam is on the negative side of that. The Rambam holds, and that's the next source here, that one is not permitted to voluntarily give up their life unless one has to. It says Kol Mishnemar Bo Yavor V'Al Yareg. Anybody who says anything about what it says that he should violate the din rather than be killed, v'neharug, and he dies instead, v'lo aver, he doesn't violate the din, harezeh mischayev v'nasho, that person is chayev misa, whatever that means, right? He's liable to death. V'chom mishenemar yorig v'al yavor, and anybody who says that no, he should be killed rather than violate the din, v'neharug, v'nerug v'lo avar, and he gets killed and he doesn't violate it. Hariz a kiddush Hashem. That's a kiddush Hashem. And then v'chol mishenemar bo yaharig v'al yavar. Anybody says that you should be killed rather than violate the din. V'avar v'lo nerug, and he violates the din and he doesn't get killed. So that's hariz a mechalas Hashem. So he's been mechal Hashem. V'im hayabasar miyisrael hariz a chilas Hashem b'ravin. There are 10 people around. He violated in public. Uvatel mitzvas ase shehi kiddush Hashem, and he has violated that positive mitzvah, which is to be Mekadesh Hashem. And he violated the mitzvah lo taseh shehi chil Hashem. And he violated lo taseh, which is chil Hashem. However, v'afal pi kein, but mifnei she'avar ba'ones, because he violated it by force, ein malkanoso. We don't give him malchus. So that part is true. I mean, that part is connected, right? Where the Rambam said that if you're forced to violate it, you don't, and you really should have been Mekadesh, you really should have given up your life, but you didn't want to give up your life, you didn't make it. So, okay. So you lost your opportunity for the mitzvah. The Rambam here even includes a negative prohibition of Chil Hashem. He doesn't say that in the letter, but you might have violated Chil Hashem. But even so, you violated Din Ba'ones. It's not going to be an ongoing repercussion from those actions. But the main stira that I found here is that first line, though, right? There seems to be a major contradiction in the Geras Hashmad. He says this guy who gave up their life rather than say than claim belief in Muhammad. So the Rambam says, what's his word again? It's a mitzvah, and he gets a big schar for doing so. But in the Mishnah Torah, he seems to assume that that person is mischayev benafsho, that person is chayev misa. So everybody hear that apparent contradiction, right? So I took a look. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So take a look here in the in the Mafteach, in the index to the Rambam here, where not really an index, it's more of a quote to everybody who ever said anything about these topics whose last name's not Cook or Soloveitchik. And they and he gives a couple of achronim that make this that make this ara. I didn't never heard of any of them. I didn't know how to find any of them, so I couldn't find what is perhaps in the classic halachic sources about analyzing that. I'm not sure, you know, I don't even know if this Igeres Hashmad, if the Nosi Kelim had it. I mean, sometimes you see questions that the Kesef Mishnah raises, those kinds of things. I'm not sure if it was available during that period of the, I don't know. But anyways, it didn't see it covered in the classical halachic answer of, well, the Rambam here meant this and here meant that. Yeah?
It could be that he's saying there, the guy didn't know any better. Here he's saying, if you're not supposed to do it, in other words, he knew the halacha and he went ahead and got killed anyway. Whereas there...
I'm not sure which is here or there.
There, right. I guess, a shmad.
Yeah.
The guy didn't know.
Right.
So he allowed himself to be killed.
So he's mischayev benafsho b'mezid. B'shogeg.
Yeah, but he's for
okay.
Doing that. Here, however, let's say he has to shine.
He's stating a din.
You don't have
so
to.
The din is that you'd be mischayev benafsho. Yeah, but I'm not sure I would call it a mitzvah then. You didn't call it a mitzvah. Yeah, he called him. So how does one? So in Moshe Halbertel's book, he says simply that he suggests that when the Rambam said that you don't violate the din by there's no problem with claiming connection to Muhammad, he didn't mean that as that he wasn't so sure about that. That's the way he wasn't so sure about that. So therefore, if somebody doesn't want to do it, so he's not going to say that person did a terrible thing by giving up his life. He got a mitzvah too, because this whole idea of what one does with that gun to your head and by a Muslim, what one does is a little bit of a gray area. So he says, I think that you should. I mean, what he's saying is, I think that you should that it's okay. You should just say the words and then move on. But if somebody held otherwise. So he felt that he was being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That's, I think, the way Dr. Halbertel would understand it. Dr. Grach, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, so he writes, he has an article on this topic. It's actually, I miswrote the thing on the top. The article is entitled Maimonides Igeres Hashmad, not a very flashy title. The line here, Martyrdom Under Cross and Crescent, is the overall like subject matter that it's covered under in Collected Essays, Volume 2. So what does one, so he has an overall theory about this Igeres Hashmad, where he writes, he says, I'm not even sure what that word is, ineluctably, we are led to the conclusion that the Rambam was aware of the incorrectness of his position. Right? That the Rambam, he claims that the Rambam wrote things in the Igeres Hashmad which he knew were wrong. Perhaps, as some historians has claimed, he was himself a Murano, and stung by accusations, he willfully twisted or omitted the facts and vindicated his own conduct. Right? That's that line where he stucks in, right? Some have claimed that. Right? So yet for a man who had a most recondite of legal passage at his fingertips, it would have been child's play to cover his tracks more effectively. Meaning he would have written, if that's really what he was trying to do, he would have come up with a better defense. When a great scholar takes it into his mind for one reason or another to defend a false position, the resultant product is far beyond the criticism of a schoolboy. Right? Meaning, even Yonah Gross was able to find that problem. Right? The errors in Maimonides' letters bulk too large. The missing links or arguments are too apparent for this to be an, I don't know what that is, apologia pro vita sua. Anybody? Okay. As a legal defense, however, Igeres Hashmad is inexplicable, but not as a work of rhetoric. In the classic sense of the term, as a pamphlet aimed not at truth, but at suasion, at moving people by all means at hand towards the given course of action. Igeres Hashmad is not a halachic work, not a responsum, but to use a modern term, a propagandist tract, written with a single purpose in mind, to counteract the effect of letter of indictment that it gained great currency and threatened to wreak havoc on the Moroccan community. So what's he saying here? So the Rambam had to, all of a sudden this letter shows up saying, pretty much, you guys are all lost, right? Things are over for your community. You guys might even still be trying to act as Muranos and trying to do things quietly. It doesn't count. You're all violated Avodah Zarah, and it's all over for you. So what does that do to the community? Great. well, we might as well give up then, right? If nothing counts, so may as well give up. So Rambam felt that he had to do something to stick up for his people and give them courage. So what was he? So what did he do? So first he told whoever wrote this is completely crazy. Then he writes that that there are several people in our history that, you know, don't never lose faith in Jewish people, which is almost half those claims, those arguments is almost half the letter. And at the very end, he gets to this halachic part, which is it perfect? Not really, but he's trying to defend the people. Now, the only problem in it, I mean, and there might be more issues that Dr. Grothman and I wasn't able to get through the entire article, but the only article that I found was this. That was the main halachic issue. The other parts seemed to work. Right? So why would the Rambam kind of fudge it a little bit with regards to people who were already Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and or thought there would be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? So now the Rambam's going to pull out and say, ha, those guys, right? I don't know what they were thinking, right? They should have just pledged allegiance to Islam. Right? So what would that do to the people? I mean, those people were heroes. I mean, they might think we're wimps, they're heroes. So Rambam's saying, you guys aren't wimps, but we could still allow those people to remain heroes. Rambam's not going to pull out and say, and those guys were all wrong, and you guys were all right. There is a discussion, as we alluded to before, the issue of Christianity, whether Christianity is considered a Avodah Zarah, whether it's not considered a Avodah Zarah. We've spoken about this in the past. The Rambam's perspective was that it was clearly 100% is pure Avodah Zarah. Others are not so sure. It's famous sheets of the Meiri, who everybody quotes as assuming that it's not. There's a Tosfos that seems that it is for them, and it is for us, but it's not for them. And there's a whole question about that. But there is a line that I saw came across once from the Minchas Elazar, the Bunkasha Rebbe, where he said, after we've lost so much blood, after so many people have died, Al Kiddush Hashem, on the cross, we're now going to come along and say that it's not Avodah Zarah? I mean, how could you say? You can't just say that those people all died in vain. So I think the Rambam is kind of coming along with the same type of argument here and saying, you might have, you're all good. Meaning you, my fellow Moroccans, are all okay. But you know, those people are also, those people are good too. So that is I want to say about the Geras Hashmad. Any questions on that before we just go a little bit forward? No? Okay.
I'm flummoxed by what Dr. Soloveitchik is saying here. Is he calling the Rambam to task?
Yeah.
For...
Oh, you should see the next 10 pages. Yeah. He goes on and says in his colorful style, right, that there is no way that the Rambam was doing this. He describes this historical circumstances where he was, and he says that this was the Rambam's way of picking people up and trying to get them ready for the next generation without necessarily being a halachic piece. That's what his argument is. Now, if you want to continue on in reading, there he includes at the back here responses that he wrote to people who wrote to argue on him. Right, so there is Rambam Zigeres Hashmad. Then there's responses to critiques from David Hartmanheim, Shapiro, Aryeh Strakovsky, and Hillel Nevetsky. So this goes on. This discussion goes on for quite a while. So it's quite a chiddush what he said. I mean, I wouldn't say it. Dr. Grach is Dr. Grach. He could, Chaim Soloveitchik could say it. Could say such a thing. He said the Rambam wasn't writing a halakhic piece here. He was writing something to convince the people to move on. Okay, so the Rambam himself took his own advice, right, as the history of the Rambam continues. So he took his advice and he himself got out of North Africa as quickly as he could. And he describes that he got to Eretz Yisrael, and he gives you actually the year, the 10th of Iyar in 4925. And that's the year that this the storm happened while he was out at sea. We were in danger of drowning. I vowed to observe these 2 days as strict fast days for myself, my family, and all my household. So anybody who claims to be a descendant of the Rambam, so Yud Iyar should be a fast day for you, okay? And to order my descendants to keep these fasts also in future generations and to give charity in accordance with their means. Okay? I further vowed to observe the 10th of Iyar in complete seclusion, to devote the day to prayer and study. On that day, God alone was with me on the sea, so upon the anniversary of this day, I wish to be alone with God and not in the company of man unless I am compelled to. So he took, it was in his contract apparently that he took Yud Iyar off. And that was supposed to be something that was going to be passed on. So on Sunday evening, the 3rd of Sivan, right, so that's Erev Shavuos, almost, I landed safely in Akko, and this is the line I added, and thus escaped persecution. Right, so the Rambam was clearly running away from persecution, and that was his goal. The day on which we set foot on the land of Israel, I vowed to observe as a day of festivity, and joy accompanied by distribution of gifts to the poor, I as well as my offspring and future generations. Okay, so if you're a descendant of the Rambam, Yud Iyar, you got a fast, and Gimel Sivan, you got to give presents out to everybody. Okay, Tuesday, the 4th of Mar Cheshvan. Notice Mar Cheshvan is one word. Tuesday, the 4th of Mar. By the way, what's this from? Rambam actually wrote a commentary to Gemara. He tried to. We have about one page from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. I think that's it. So this is from that first page where he writes on the top. I'm beginning my introduction to Maseches, my commentary on the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And this is, I think, much of what we have. I have in Hebrew, figured easier to do in English here. So the day on which we set foot in the land of Israel, we just read that. So to the Tuesday, the 4th of Mar Cheshvan, in the year 4926, we arrived in Yerushalayim from Akko after a dangerous journey. I entered the site of the great and holy temple and prayed there on Thursday, the 6th of Mar Cheshvan. And I'm there on the 6th of Mar Cheshvan. Now, by the way, what is the great and holy temple? So that's a good question, right? Those that are on the pro going up to the Temple Mount camp assume that it quote this as being, you see, the Rambam even went up to Har Habayis. Others claim that that's not what it's talking about. It's talking that he went into the big shul in Yerushalayim. Now, it wasn't like there was a Horva synagogue back then. He went into something. So that's a machlokas out there. In the Hebrew version, in the Hebrew, what he wrote, I think he writes... Bayis Hagadol, I forget the term. He doesn't say Beis HaMikdash. He says Bayis Hagadol Lehit Palo. So that's a big question mark what he actually meant by that. He actually continues on.
What about the translation? Because the translation implies that he's at the bias.
Right. So, that's because in your mind, temple means the temple with a capital T, which the person actually wrote with a capital T. Yeah, yeah. But it could have been the temple with a lowercase T, you know, the temple where people hang out. So, by the way, it continues on and talks about how he goes to Hebron and he wants to visit his, the Sabas and the Saftas, the Zaydas and the Babas. He goes and visits Hebron, and then we don't know, and then all of a sudden he ends up in Egypt. Why didn't he stay in Eretz Yisrael? So presumably he just couldn't earn a living in Eretz Yisrael. He got some kind of position that he was offered in Egypt, or he figured there's a bigger community in Egypt, we'll head to Egypt, and he makes his way, ends up in Egypt. That's after he finishes writing, as we started out with, the Perush HaMishnayos that he finished. So he finished 3 years after arriving in Egypt. So if he's already writing and publishing the Perush HaMishnayos, he's already a pretty prominent person. And he right away is a pretty prominent person in Egypt, recognized by people and also picked on by people. There are some major issues going around, which is not our topic for tonight. But he does get one letter that I'll just allude to, and that is probably the most famous letter that he wrote, and that is the Igeres Teiman. What is the Igeres Teiman? So the Teimani Jews are known as following the Shitas Rambam. They're from Yemen. They're the ones, they follow, quote, the Shitas Rambam, or try to. The Rambam never went to Yemen. There's this like, the Rambam must have... No, the Rambam never went there. The Rambam had a correspondence with the Jews in Yemen, and with particularly one individual during a very difficult time. And apparently the Rambam had enough of an impact that his Mishneh Torah became accepted as the law of the land in Yemen. Yeah. So what is the story with the Igeres Teiman? I don't have the names in front of me. But there was much persecution there. And that was after the Muslims became prominent, became recognized by the Jewish people as kind of being advanced society. And there was a suggestion amongst the Jewish community that, hey, these guys aren't so bad. They've got a good, we've got a bad. Maybe we should be joining them. And maybe that's the plan. I mean, the plan is that they're the advancement upon us. And that's the letter that was written to the Rambam. We're under so much persecution, we're having so much trouble, and, they're not so different from us. Should we maybe be joining teams and be moving on? And that's the question that was asked in the Igeres Teiman. So we quoted, when we learned Daniel a couple of years ago, before Mincha, so there's several references in in the Igeres Timan to the Book of Daniel, because the Rambam talks about Mashiach. The Rambam talks about that, oh, the rise of the Muslim dynasties is the last of the levels that Daniel was referring to. Not the end, but towards the end. That you're on the right track, but this isn't it. This isn't the end. And rather, you have to strengthen yourself. And the one line that I put in here is that he says, V'alkei nachinu kol Yisrael hanafutzim b'ksavos roi lachem shetizchazu katzem es ketzaschem es ketzaschem v'yashirigdolechem eskitzaschem v'yashirigdolechem alektanim, that you people that are spread out to all the corners of the earth, you have to strengthen each other, and the greater people have to strengthen the smaller people, the chidim es hamonim, and the unique people, meaning the rabbanim, have to strengthen everybody else. The skimu kulchem be'emes, asher lo tishtana v'lo tumar, that you have to strengthen yourself to follow the truth, that it hasn't changed and it hasn't gone away. V'ish Hashem yis'ala echad, lo kishar ha'chadim, l'shemosh nivyo, v'am daber b'shmo, adon kol nivim, v'hishim shebehem. Right, that Hashem is one, and Moshe is his prophet, and Moshe is the one who could speak in his name. V'hu hisig me'Hashem mashalo hisigu shum navi v'lo yisigehu v'shasefer Torah zeh kulo mibreishis adli enei kol Yisrael who davar Hashem leMoshe Rabbeinu, and recognize that those that make arguments that shouldn't be making arguments, and the Torah from Bereishis until enei kol Yisrael, meaning the end of the Torah, is what Hashem said to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to it directly, and nothing has ever changed. And remember Har Sinai. And mean strengthen these things, remember these things, and recognize that things are not changing just because someone out there says that it's changed. And the letter actually concludes with, and I ask that you spread this around to every congregation that you can get it. And he says that I was very hesitant to write this at first, but ultimately I want to get it out. So the question that was asked before of, what did the Rambam hold about Islam? So the Rambam maybe specifically didn't want to go and say, oh, Islam is not so bad, don't worry about it, because that's in a sense what he's fighting against. Now, I'm not sure whether he was fighting that already in Africa. This was already 15, 20 years later. But the Rambam doesn't want to go there, certainly a letter to the people, because then people say, oh, well, it's not so bad, let's just join them. So he wanted to make sure to avoid that. But on the other hand, the Rambam does thread this line of saying, we're not going to be them, we have to be us. If you fell off a little bit and agreed to them, so it's okay, you're certainly welcome, you're welcome back on the team. We had, again, this question of what if a person says, well, I'm going to be Mekadesh Hashem anyways, so this seems to be a little bit of a dispute between what the Rambam wrote in this letter versus what he writes in the Mishnah Torah. But this is all some of the realities that the Rambam had to deal with during his time. Right? Questions? Yeah?
So when people said that they thought, well, maybe he also did some kind of conversion or whatever, but can't they tell because he continued his writings? I mean, how could he be like even pretending to convert? Still writing.
First of all, the Rambam moved around. He was in different places. So it's not clear when that happened, or maybe he did at the end in order to fake people out. But probably didn't happen, so it's hard to figure out what the case is for it to have happened.
That it just doesn't seem like
It sounds like we really have to know the environment in which all this is going on. And obviously, we have some context here.
Yeah.
Whether he intended this verse to be a halachic piece at all is, I don't know, but it seems like a celebration of things might have, but I understand that, but he's calling him a task for it not being a halachic piece. Even though the intention may have been
The intention was to give instruction, but remember that line is not giving instruction. That line is telling you what you shouldn't do. If you did it, you're okay.
Yeah.
But he's not telling you what you should do in that case. Right, he's telling you should just go along with it. Right? Now, what he writes in the Mishnah Torah later on. Now, I don't think Dr. Salvechik at one point says that maybe the Rambam didn't. The Rambam had a pretty good memory, and something of that case. It's doubtful that he would have changed his mind. Like, that's a pretty major thing that's out there, that the Rambam would change his mind from one point and then 20 years later. That's difficult to say. Okay, good evening.
Thank you.